Welcome back, listeners and subscribers, and welcome to you catching us for the first time. With you, as always, I'm Top Toes.
And I'm your nasally co-host, Enny.
Oh, yeah, you're nasally, I'm sniffly. It's been a bit. You know, we missed a week because we've both been under the weather. How are you feeling now?
I'm slightly better, but I'm left with this, like, crazy amount of congestion that I'm not entirely sure it's residuals from my cold or our new allergies.
Yeah, I was suffering a sinus infection, and now that I'm kind of over that, I've just got that catch in my throat that makes me want to cough.
Well, and then you know, with all the draining on the back of your throat gets pretty damaged sometimes. So it gets dry very easily. You can't eat things like, you know, chips or popcorn because it's like immediately stuck in your throat, and then you have to drink a gallon of water before you can get back to talking again.
Yeah, and despite the fact that we've gotten some weather lately, the air's just been so dry, and that just makes it worse as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do, I'm going to sip this whiskey, and I hope that, you know, worked for my ancestors.
Burn it right out. It's going to burn it right out.
Hey, as my grandmother would have said, if whiskey can't kill it, nothing can.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I thought I maybe had the flu because there was a fever with it. But you know, I didn't feel like it was COVID. I thought it was just a regular ass flu. Although, you know, it's been a few days now, like on and off a week or two, and I'm starting to get this weird smell. And my feet smell weird. Is it my nose? Or is it my feet that are smelling weird because I've been taking so much fucking NyQuil for the last week or two?
Well, I mean, that's an easy enough one to prove. You got someone in the house with you who will smell your feet and confirm whether or not they smell the usual smelly or a different smelly.
Except now he's sick.
Oh.
So he can't smell worth a fucking damn. So, yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I know. But, you know, that is such a huge part of the fetish. The sense that what happened, you know, I never thought about this, like what happens if you can't smell, you know? It's like the same when you're eating, right? You can't really taste something if you can't smell it. It just isn't, it's not as potent, it doesn't taste the same, you know. You used to pinch your nose when you used to take medicine as a kid so you wouldn't smell it, so it would taste a little better. So does that work the same with your fetish? Like, what happens if you can no longer smell feet? The olfactories are not a part of it. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Your sense of smell is not a part of it anymore.
I don't know that my sense of smell necessarily drives my feet, but it's definitely in play. It's definitely something that's part of the total experience.
Have you ever had a situation where you've smelled feet and gotten turned on without looking at the feet?
I can't think of when I would have smelled feet that were, you know, far enough away that I didn't see them.
Okay. What about if your partner's out of town and you see your shoes?
Okay. Maybe like walk by a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Or some socks or, you know. Have you ever been triggered?
I'm going to have to say yes. Now that you gave me a hypothetical, yes. Yes, that does. That feels familiar. I would say yes.
Okay. I meant to talk about this a few episodes ago, but, you know, I forgot. There was a couple of days where the husband was obsessed with this sexy pair of, like, snake, and you've seen them before in person, actually. It's like a pair of sandals that have kind of spikes and grommets on them, and they're snake skin, and like the toe goes in there, and they're leather. And I left them on top of the counter, like the sink, and I left. And there was a couple of days where he was like, "Oh my gosh, your shoes are here," and I had to smell them, and oh my God, they smell amazing. And he was like getting turned on by my shoes. And I was like, that's a whole nother fetish, buddy. Like, we don't have a shoe fetish podcast.
But I think it's absolutely related. One, because there's the association specifically with your feet. And two, it's a reminder of what he likes or one of the things he likes about your feet. So I think it's absolutely in there. And I think it does go hand in hand with, oh, geez, how we always get, how the foot fetishists always get that label being the crazy shoe sniffers and shoe thieves. But I think, you know, even the ridiculous is grounded in truth. So I'm going to say that absolutely is.
Well, it's like smelling panties, right? But he doesn't do that either. So I'm a little bit shocked at that, actually. I was actually pleasantly surprised. So, which leads me back to our topic for today, which is Foot Fetish 101.
Oh, you're going to say Foot Fetish 101? Because I think I already made the title card say Feet 101.
Whatever. Same thing. What do we talk about here? We talk about not just feet, but, you know, as it relates to your fetish.
So, yeah, that's fine.
This is the podiatry.
Like. I'll fix the title card.
No, I mean, no, leave it. It's fine. But
whatever.
I'm just saying.
This is the second time in as many weeks that we've discussed what the title of the episode.
Yeah, I don't know why. Who cares? Why are we doing? Who the fuck cares? Do whatever the hell you want. Let's talk about feet.
Of course, isn't that what we like to do? We come on the air and we talk about feet, and hopefully we don't lose people in the first 10 minutes while we talk about crazy shit besides feet.
And then that actually reminds me that I was listening to your episode with Molly Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our favorite girl. She, in the beginning of the episode, she said something like a DS dynamic, and then moved on very quickly to make her point. And I remember thinking, if I wasn't in this community and I had no idea what that was, I'd be like, what is that? Because she said it so fast, like DS dynamic, I'd be looking up like Diaz, like what is Diaz?
Yeah. So we,
you know,
we used to very, in season one, we were so particularly overconscious of if a term of the community or term of art came up that we would pause and define it. And the longer we run the show, the more we're just used, these terms just flow regularly. So yeah, a DS is obviously dominance and submission. And when one refers to a dynamic, they're referring to a relationship, but not in the big R sense, in the, not necessarily that they have a romantic or a couple relationship, but simply a relationship that's explored in kink.
Right.
Where one is the dominant and one is the submissive. But yeah, we sometimes we forget to bring it back to basics. And I think that's what we're trying to do today, isn't it?
Yes, that is exactly why I brought that up. Because I think we've gotten so used to talking about feet and all fetishes related to feet that we forget that, you know, we acknowledge the lady on the bus and the people that are listening to us for the first time. But if they're listening to us for the first time and they don't have a foot fetish, then perhaps we are just research. Mm. And
moreover, if they're listening to us for the first time because they've just dipped their toe, pardon the pun, into the community and want to know where to go with it, which a lot of people tell us they do.
Right.
We need
and it
to
can
be
overwhelming. It doesn't seem like that to us, obviously, but it can really be overwhelming if you've never lived the lifestyle before.
Well, that's why I'm going to flag this episode for a little while, at least, as the listen first. So when you stumble upon this podcast on various platforms that support that, this is the suggested listening. This is your jumping off point. Don't start at episode one where we're nervous and crazy. Start at episode season five, episode two, where we're just going to dial it back a bit and start from the beginning. And
and also, please remember that I think that both of us don't normally sound like this.
Well, that's
I'm trying to sound as normal as possible, but I think the more I try, the the weirder I sound. So
if you want to hear us at our sexiest voice, if you're just a voice person, an ASMR person, go to one of the Christmas episodes. That's when we're totally on. But if you want to learn and you're new to the community, this is our starting point.
All right. So let's ask the question, right? What if, you know, I'm a 20-year-old kid. I use that term loosely. And I think that feet are making my pants a little tighter and there's a bit of a tingle. And I realized that my porn choices involved women with pretty feet.
I'm going to add to it. I'm a 45-year-old person. And you know, just the, we often express things heteronormative, but everything we're saying applies to all spectrums of sexuality. So guys who like guys' feet, women who like women's feet, guys who like women's feet, women who like guys' feet, and everything in between, we're totally cool with, and we will try to address at all times. But you're 45 and you've been sexually active, but really not engaged in kink. And as you are kind of in that second finding yourself, you're realizing, you're discovering, you're developing a foot fetish, because we know some late in life foot fetish developers. And we've discussed how people's kinks and sexual tastes vary with partner. And maybe you've met somebody new and suddenly, for the first time in your life, their feet make you give you the stomach butterflies.
So, you know, you were in the middle of having sex with a new partner and she shoves her toes in your mouth as you're riding her, or he, right, shoves his toes in your mouth as you're riding him, and holy shit, it like just makes you explode. What then? You're like, okay, well, let's figure this out. What was it about that session that turned me on so much?
You, my friend, have just discovered your bona fide foot fetish. So
maybe a little bit of femdom, or, you know.
Possibly. It definitely, we always know, the fetish ties in with and has always been strongly associated with, as we brought up, the dominance and submissive dynamic. In the queer community, it's definitely strongly rooted in a top, bottom, dom, sub kind of dynamic. And in the straight community, it's very strongly tied to female dominance.
But however, that's not always the case, and that's not what that means. So just because you like feet doesn't mean you're a sub or a dom or anything in between. It could just mean that you like feet.
Or it could mean that you're responding to feet because you really are a sub, and it's the submission, the being with the lowest part on someone else's body that you're responding to. And both are perfectly valid. And both are awesome. And both, I think, are addressed in how the ways we can find to enjoy this.
So what kind of advice would you give to someone that is into week one or two of maybe paying attention to feet a little more than usual?
Well, first and foremost, don't bury it in shame. I mean, yeah, if you've got sort of a shame kink, you can, within the dynamic and the play, keep it that way. But to yourself, don't bury it in shame. Because when you do that, then you have trouble communicating it to partners, and then you rob yourself of the ability to explore this with, you know, loving, trusting partners and relationships.
I thought you were going to say for a second, admit that you have a problem.
No. This is
it is not a problem. That's what we're saying. It is not a problem. A problem.
So we don't start with step one of the 12 step.
Right. But you can definitely admit that you enjoy it, that you like it, that it turns you on, and not feel like a creep about it.
And if you're in a steady or comfortable or a good relationship that has open lines of communication, bring it up, because I will speak in a heteronormative sense in this particular case. I have never met a woman who has turned down attention to her feet. At the absolute very least, I've never ever met a woman who's going to turn down a foot rub.
Okay. Now I have a friend who is absolutely horrified by feet, and she's horrified by attention to her feet. I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea why or who in her life made her think that feet were so absolutely disgusting. But she does not wear flip-flops. She does not wear anything open-toed. She has never in her entire marriage of 20-something years allowed her husband to touch her feet for any reason. Even for medical reasons, she's never have the doctor touch her feet. She's just appalled. And I think in those situations, it must be difficult. Thank goodness she didn't marry a foot fetishist, right?
Right. But, I mean, you gotta try to be open and honest, and you happen to discover that you are discovering your foot fetish, and then you discover that you're married to that person.
What if your partner has a hard limit? What if it's a hard limit?
You never know who is going to bend for a partner that they love. That actual person in your life hypothetically was married to somebody who came and said, hey, you know what? I think I'm developing a foot fetish. I don't know what she's going to say, but you won't find out what she's going to say. You won't find out if she will at least bend a little bit unless you say something.
Right. I mean, how do you feel about people who find professions in areas where their kink is kind of fed a little? Like, what if you have, like, how many podiatrists, how many actual doctors do you think have a foot fetish?
So that becomes the butt of jokes and the favorite joke of foot fetishists, you know, oh, dream job to work in a shoe store.
No, but then you'd be exposed to all the ugly feet too. People forget that.
Yes. The Al Bundy theory of it. Absolutely true. Podiatry. I think podiatry is not a career you'd want to go into if you have a foot fetish, because you are wall to wall surrounded with people with foot problems. Not all of them are necessarily unattractive, but I'm sure a lot of them are.
I have to say, I have to admit that at least twice in my time going to salons to get pedicures, at least two of the men that have touched my feet, I'm confident, had a foot fetish. Mm,
yes, I do recall that you've mentioned there's been a few, at least.
Yeah. But there was one that I wasn't quite sure if it was a pregnancy fetish or it was a foot fetish. But either way, the whole thing was just very creepy.
Mm.
Which leads me to a point that we should really make. Because foot fetishists get such a bad rap, I'm going to encourage all new foot fetishists to avoid the stereotypical, falling into the stereotypical creep.
Careers.
I mean, if you have a foot fetish, that's fine. I think what's not fine is doing things, anything without consent.
Mm.
So don't go around sniffing every shoe that you see on the floor at a party. Just fucking don't. Like, just don't. Just, we have to practice some restraint.
Yes.
Because then, yeah, that's why, you know, we hear so many things in the news, right, that have absolutely nothing to do with feet, but they're like foot fetishes, you know, robs the liquor store. Like,
yes, please, please don't become another bad headline for us. Please. So keep a monocle of self-control. And well, that applies to anyone all the time, always.
Yes, with any kink.
With any kink, with anything, yeah, you know?
Like, yes, I know you like to sniff panties, but please don't go steal them out of people's hampers. Do not break into your neighbor's house and steal them out of the hamper.
I hate to oversimplify this, but maybe to kind of make an illusion, a metaphor of it, just because you like to fuck, don't become a rapist. Just because you like feet, don't cross that line into the non-consensual.
Right. But it's easy to cross. It's easy to cross because people don't think of it as a violation. They're like, oh, it is only feet.
It is much easier.
It's not like it's tits and ass.
And we have definitely advised people, hey, you know, you're trying to get your girl into your foot fetish. You're not quite sure how to throw the, hey, I have a foot fetish out there. You're getting a little tongue-tied. But you're sitting on the couch and you just start rubbing her feet. The difference is we're telling people to do that with people they're already in some sort of relationship
with. Right.
And we're also saying if she shies away, you don't tie her to the couch.
Now, you know, one thing, so we always say, like, you know, if you're in a relationship or you want to tell a person that you're enjoying feet, that you have a foot fetish, don't make a big deal about it. Don't make an event out of it. Just kind of casually mention it. But, you know, then another way to deal with that is you can like feet and say you like feet without saying that it's a fetish. So, you know, there are many people on dating apps that say specifically that, like, I like a woman who takes care of her hands and feet. That doesn't mean you want to go around jerking off to her feet. That may be the case, but that's, I mean, it's not always that way. Mm. Like, I know that, like, I've mentioned it before. I had a friend who would not date a guy that didn't take care of his feet or his shoes. The shoes had to be perfectly clean or she would not go on a second date. She wouldn't look at that guy twice. Mm. Now, did she have a shoe fetish? No. Did she have a foot fetish? No. She just really enjoyed people who took care, you know,
It was a benchmark of a certain amount of personal detail.
Yes. Yeah. That's so you can say that to someone, like, I love a woman who takes care of her feet. And mm-hmm. and then you can, you know, you can enjoy them and then kind of gradually, and, you know, make your partner have it be something that your partner enjoys. You don't have to. Oh my. Okay. So that reminds me of a story that I've been trying to tell for weeks, for months now, and I completely forget about it.
Okay.
So my friends all know what I do. Most of my friends know about the podcast, and they know, you know, who Eni is, and that my husband likes speed and all that great stuff. So I hadn't seen my friends for a couple of months, and we got together for a girls' night. And one of my friends was just adamant about how gross it is, right? She was like, I just don't know how you do it, girl. And I'm like, you don't know how I do what? Like, I love attention to my feet. It feels amazing. And she's like, I think it just – she's like, look, I tried it. And I'm like, you just haven't tried it. And she says, no, look, I tried it. I tried it. And so she proceeds to tell me that – she was dating a man who was her handyman. He would, like, come and make repairs in her home. And he propositioned her. He told her that he would kind of trade services if she went on a date with him.
This is a story or the porn you watch 3 weeks ago?
It's her story. It's her real life. So she kind of sort of started dating this guy. She liked him. It wasn't just strictly, you know, sex work. She liked this guy, and the thing with this guy, and he admitted, was that he loved her feet. Now, my friend, we're gonna call her R because I don't want to say her name, but my friend She's a bigger, like, BBW. She's a big woman, and she's got these big, chunky feet. Like, they're just like little tamales. Like, she can't fit into strappy shoes whatsoever. She's got these plump toes, and they're pretty. They're not, you know, her feet are cared for. They're not ugly. They're not hideous. They're not the most amazing things I've ever seen, but they're decent. So she proceeds to explore this with him because, you know, he likes feet. And she says that it was such a turnoff to her that he was giving her toe head that she never went on a date with him again. That's how much he turned her off. And I said, what, like, no, like, you got to give me details. Like, explain, like, what was he doing? What did he do? How did he do it? And basically, he did the thing that bottom drawer and I are really judgy about, which is we don't like it when people just rah, 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 like, just attack the foot. Like, there has to be some type of, like, sensual control to it. And so apparently this guy shoved her entire foot in his mouth and was just giving her foot head and like was gagging on it and choking on it and spitting. And she was just so turned off by that foot experience that she never wants to try it again.
Oh, that is definitely not a go-to, not a starter as far as I'm concerned.
No, no one
can tell anyone how to express their fetish. If that's what turns him on, I just think he's going to find more women than not. That's a bit a bridge too far.
It is, yeah.
However,
I mean, he could have worked up to it.
I have been there with the gagging, and I think I've told stories on the air of, you know, toenail cuts on the roof of my mouth. But that is when it transitions the other way, and my partner is like, so into it that they are choosing to be aggressive about it. You know, they flipped it into a female dominant kind of dynamic, and that, you know, then
it is. She wasn't trying to be dominant, and she wasn't, like, she was just grossed out by the whole thing. Her feet were probably dirty too. You know what I mean? Like, she's not. So you can't. I feel like.
So,
I feel like you can't throw that on just anyone. You have to read the room.
Yes.
You have to read the room.
I think that goes with any sexual encounter, that the sexiest thing you can do is listen. And listen doesn't necessarily have to be with your ears, but kind of feel how things are going. Pay attention to how your partner is responding.
Yes.
Adapt as necessary. And I think that's 100% true in foot play as well as in pretty much any other sexual act.
Yeah. So if you're a beginner
it ties into the other takeaway that I had from what you were saying just before the story, which is you said, you know, instead of saying I have a foot fetish, saying, you know, I like it when somebody takes care of their feet. And in a sense, that's coded language. The average person from the non-foot community is going to take it at face value, and you can use it as a way to work up. And a person with experience in the foot fetish community is going to understand that's coded language, and they're going to instantly recognize what you're really saying.
Right, right.
And so both of these things say, hold on to a bit of subtlety. And We've preached that in many, many ways and maybe never used the word that in all things, a bit of subtlety goes a long way.
Right, right. I mean, so I want to say if you're a beginning foot fetishist, explore it, definitely. I would say it's going to be slow moving and you should take your time unless you already have that rapport with someone where you're, you know, you've been married and you've done it in every single position possible. And now you're just trying to get creative. And then you guys can have these conversations. You can talk about, well, I'd like to try this. Just like you talk about role play, right? You just jump into it. You talk about it.
Yeah. So it's communication, and whether that be spoken or unspoken. If you've got spoken communication and you can literally discuss these things and decide that 100% over the top crazy idea works for both of you, or the unspoken communication of slowly trying things and seeing the response and taking them a bit further and taking them a bit further. But yeah, right, so mouth raping yourself with somebody's foot on the first date is none of the things that we like.
Right, and if you were dating a dominatrix, then that might have been okay. But you were dating a woman who had never had her toes sucked like that before.
And even if she was a pro-dom that you had literally paid to engage, there would be a negotiation and mistress, please foot rape me with you, face rape me with your foot would be in the negotiation.
Right.
When you get that far into the BDSM community, negotiation and consent is everything. So you,
yeah, but I mean, so we're talking about strictly like you just discovered that you have a foot fetish. What should we do about that?
I'd like to pivot on that because maybe the first thing you see, maybe you're not in a relationship at all, and maybe you kind of already know that your relationship is not necessarily where you want to explore your foot fetish. And I think that is okay, to the degree that you also feel that what I'm going to suggest isn't considered cheating. But maybe you want to go to a party or a kink event or professional and explore it that way.
That might be too much for a beginner, though. If you just, you know,
I think a lot of your beginners, especially your example, the 20-year-old who just discovered he has a foot fetish, especially when he is not necessarily in a relationship, I don't think a foot party is a bad way to check the scene out.
So for me, I would suggest go on a date, offer a foot rub. Just like you've always said, if you get to a more intimate part of your date, try kissing, worshiping from head to toe. Kiss her from head to toe, literally. And when you kiss the toes, go slow and listen, feel for her reaction. If she is giving you the go-ahead, then you keep going. If she flinches, she moves away and says, oh, I don't like that, that tickles, or just cringes, take a step back, move on to something else, and then discuss it another day. So,
or even take a step back in the footplay and go back to the gentle caressing and rubbing and see if that is, you know, if it was just the half step too far. You know, listen attentively and adapt and slow down and speed up as appropriate. But I don't think I want to dismiss the idea of, okay, I am new to the community. I'm not currently in a relationship. Let's try the kink event angle.
Right. Hang out with like-minded individuals. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've been telling people in our Telegram chat that all the time, you know. To some degree, we've been saying if there is no kink event near you, create a get-together that...
Right.
Where people can, where you can attract people who have a similar bent.
What did I say? Where there's a will, there's a way.
I have just with a friend that I've always run this event. We had a munch, which we may have discussed before, but that's a gathering of kinky people in a non-kink space, just where they can get together, meet each other, figure out where play places are, figure out who play partners are, you know, just
show up in your regular clothes. Don't show up in the, you know.
So after 3 years plus of COVID, a fairly successful munch we used to run is back on the table. The first post-COVID event of it is this Sunday. I'm really looking forward to get out in there. So,
oh, fun. Very exciting.
So if you, and so how to find a munch, how to find a kink event, how to find a foot party. The foot party, the top level thing where you are, you know, willing to throw down some money to pay to play. You're going to find those on, to some small degree, on Instagram, definitely on Twitter, Google, because they have their own websites, and obviously FetLife. If you're looking for a generic kink party that may or may not have a cover charge, usually they have some modicum of a cover charge just to, you know, keep the whatever roof they rent over their heads.
Right, right.
That's usually going to be more on FetLife. And as I've discussed, also, if you have a local independent paper like the Old Advocates and The Voice, and they have a, quote, back page where they have avant-garde classifieds. You literally used to be called the back page. There are still, and that's a metropolitan area thing, but there are still cities that have those local independent free press, and the back page is going to have your events listings. And then moving a step back again, if you're just looking for a munch, just a way to find other people from the kink community, and I haven't seen many, at least around me, foot fetish specific munches, but you'd be surprised how many people in the kink community are also just into the foot thing.
Right. And
you will find them if you go to your local munch. Again, maybe the back page of your local independent rag, but definitely that's somewhere where you kind of... The thing is,
I mean, listen,
to find the more casual thing is where you definitely have to get your FetLife account. It's kind of ironic.
The thing is, though, you know, with the internet, I mean, the World Wide Web, I mean, there's no excuse. You can really find anything if you really look for it. So, you know, before you had to, like, actually get out there, like, there was no, you know. Go ahead.
Well, just if we can shout out a friend and follower from our Twitterverse. Savos Toes is in 2024 working on a website that's outside of FetLife that will be kind of taking kink events that are foot fetish specific worldwide and kind of boiling them down so that it's kind of a, don't have to get into the craziness that is FetLife or can be FetLife, and you can just find this this listing of foot fetish events worldwide all the time. She is just taking it upon herself to create this thing for us. So look for that in the future. And if you can find her on Twitter, Savos Toes, all one word.
Very cool.
Great resource for beginners once it's up.
So before we go, I know we've been on here quite a bit actually without even realizing. Let's just touch really quick on the other end of the new foot fetishist. What if you're not a foot fetishist, but you just found out that your partner has a foot fetish, or the guy that you're now dating that you really like has a foot fetish, or the girl has a foot fetish? How to give us some advice on that? How do we handle that?
Well, why don't you back up a couple decades when you first met your eventually husband and you discovered pretty quickly that he had a foot fetish? Obviously, you didn't do the wrong thing because you're still together all these years later.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a little bit different because I was kind of a freak already. You know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of a... I've always been a risk taker, and I like trying new things, and I like adventure. So, and I'm really open-minded. So I'm a terrible example, I think. I'm a great example, you know, for him. I'm a great example in, like, that can really work, and it worked out for him, and it wasn't a big deal. But I don't think it's like that for everybody.
Well, I think the only thing we can tell people, the basic thing we can tell people, is kind of, you know, conditional, which is you like this person and they're telling you this and you don't get it. First and foremost, just keep an open mind.
Okay, so secondly,
chances are they are not the creepy shoe sniffer you read about in rag magazines that foot fetishes, blah, 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 blah.
See, and the thing is, if you're dating that guy, I feel like that's not going to be your first red flag. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you met somebody and that's kind of the thing that they have, like, I don't think that's going to be the first thing. I think there's probably many other red flags that you're either ignoring or just kind of shoving aside. So
your partner has just told you that they felt comfortable enough to tell you they have a foot fetish. Don't immediately take these crazy ideas that come from the media. Don't assume there's some sort of closet freak who's stealing shoes.
No, in fact, quite the opposite. Most of the women that I know that are sex workers and they get paid to session, I'm going to say that the majority of them and the majority of their sessions don't involve anything other than rubbing the feet, kissing the feet, and just having a, you know, a nice chat about feet.
Mm. And I think for a lot of guys, the expression of their fetish in the bedroom is rubbing the feet, kissing the feet, maybe sucking a couple toes.
Yeah. As
a lead up to what one might call quote unquote regular sex.
Right. Hey, so can I ask you?
Here's my really obvious advice. Okay, your partner just told you that they have a foot fetish. Don't immediately try to give them a foot job.
Right.
Learn, feel, let them express what they want and what they're looking for. And if they do eventually say, hey, I'd love to get a foot job from you, take it slow. It's not an easy thing to do.
Or let them take control of it.
Yeah.
Keep your feet together. So your job will be to keep your feet together and let him kind of guide you in that way. Just like, you know, back when you were fucking 15 and giving your first hand job, you didn't fucking know what to do. You just kind of went along with it. So
guys are very different. And if you take the first time on that with letting them fuck your feet, you'll get a much better idea of pressure and speed and angle, and because you can give a bad hand job, and you can even more easily, because it's muscles and parts of your body you don't use, very easily give a bad foot job. And that's not a reflection on you. It's not something to just say, oh, I saw a porn movie on this once, they're not gonna do. And you know, yeah, when your guys,
well, you know, anytime any of us gets a little adventures, that we sometimes get a little crazy and things can end up being hurt or damaged. So yeah, just be careful like you would with anything else.
And the other thing that you can do as a woman who has discovered that their man or partner has a foot fetish, or even as a guy who's discovered, is, and what you do might differ, but as anyone, give a little extra attention to your feet. Might want to be listening to some of the things your partner talks about if they're into a lot of foot smell and you don't want to go a whole lot of lotion and take that away from them. But, you know.
So I'd like to say, tidying up your feet,
getting a nice pedicure, whatever. Things.
No, and I'm going to disagree with you slightly on that, because I'm going to say, before you make a decision to do any of these things, find out what it is that your partner likes about feet. So ask, well, what is it that you like? Is it, and then they'll tell you, well, I like clean feet, or what if they like extremely dirty feet?
True.
Or very, very calloused feet. Or what if they like natural nails and you go and you paint them red? Because there's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of things that men are super, or people, fetishists, are super picky about, right? Like, we have those people that are like, I fucking hate red nail polish. Never putting it red nail polish on. Or I fucking hate long nails. They're an instant turn off, you know. So find what turns them on. Find what turns them off. And then adjust to what you're comfortable with.
Mm, absolutely. There's the important thing nylon? That maybe you just pointed out to the new person in this world wouldn't understand is there's no one cookie cutter foot fetishist.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, before we go, I've wanted to ask you this like 3 or 4 times and you kept interrupting me with a different little side thing. So, but I do want to ask you your version of this. So aside from, we all know that you're poly, but aside from the girls, the girlfriends, people that you date that sort of start off knowing your kinks and being in that world, how did you tell your wife that you had a foot fetish and how did she react to it? Or did you already meet her knowing that too?
No, we didn't meet under any circumstances that would where my foot fetish was on the table. But I don't think we were dating very long when I brought it up.
Do you remember how you brought it up or how she reacted?
I think it was so nonchalant that there really isn't any story to tell. You know, we were snuggling, cuddling, making out, something like that. And I might have just like reached down and grabbed her foot and she might have looked at me quizzically. And I might have just said, you know, I got a thing for feet. You know, I think yours are cute. And I don't think anything really got questioned beyond that.
See, I love that. I love that. And that's how it should happen. And if you're dating an open-minded individual, someone that cares about you or cares about, you know, your pleasure, they'll ask. And if someone's not willing to ask what your sexual pleasures are, I think you're just dating the wrong person. But, you know, I haven't dated in a long time, so I could be completely wrong.
Well, I'm obviously the poster child for still definitely dating, so I'm going to say that I'm going to 100% agree with you, and I think my partners would 100% agree with you. So we are going to wrap this up, but we always like to continue the conversation with you. So there's a question or a comment on box on just about every platform, especially Spotify and YouTube. On othosetoes.com, you can find links to us where you could email us questions or find our social media. If you really want to join that community of like-minded people on FetLife and on Telegram, there are groups where you can chat with all of our, well, I wouldn't say all of our fans, but a nice chunk of our fans. And we'll always keep the conversation going. One or both of us is active every day in the Telegram chat. So if you've got something to ask, that would be the place.
Yeah, I've been taking a step back because I just haven't been feeling well.
Yeah.
I slept right through a bunch of shit yesterday. So.
Well, I try to, when I notice that you're not there, I try to be in there a little more just so that, you know, there's always a presence and we collectively. And also
they're really great about keeping each other entertained.
True.
We could our chat group.
You know, if there's something you want to know about us, because still the chat has the podcast name on it. So right. We do make sure that we're always available to entertain the conversation there. There's always ways to get in touch with us. So do it. We love interacting with our fans.
You know what I want to hear from our fans next? I want to hear Valentine's Day plans. How does a foot fetishist spend Valentine's Day? Right? Because we'll record an episode before then, or two, maybe.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we can give people ideas, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just been, you know, we just celebrated our 17th year anniversary, and maybe I need some ideas, so.
Take to that comment box. Social media. Our groups.
Quick plug too. If you are in the Austin area or will be in the Austin area, February 3rd is the next Texas foot party registration will be closed soon. So I think in the next week or two, like I think a week before they close it. So yeah, if you're going to be in Central Texas, first week of February, make sure that you register for that Texas foot party. It's going to be awesome.
The only foot party in North America that we can both say definitively is a good time because we've actually both been to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't, I mean, I don't attend, let me just repeat this too. I don't attend, like, I don't do sessions. I just work it. I'm, you know, one of the volunteers. So I just help my friends get it off successfully. You
got 15 plus beautiful models and get to say hi to any at the door.
Yeah, really.
What could be better?
Yep.
So, again, all of this stuff is at othostoes.com. Along with where to find us on other platforms and information about past shows and everything. Since this is our 101 episode, we'll just really plug the heck out of, you know, where to find us in the future. And thanks a lot for being with us for a little under an hour this time.
Yeah. I mean, really, if they just Google all those toes.
Who knows what they'll find first.
They'll find all of us, all of our shit and everything, so.
It's all us.
Thanks so much for listening to us, guys, even though we're all stinking nasally.
Yes. Like I said, if you want to hear our voices that are sexiest, there's other episodes. But if
I think you sound great. So I'm speaking for myself, not for you. I think you sound perfectly fine. So.
Well, I'm definitely a stifling. Yeah. So, as we do always say, whether the sexy factor of the congestion works for you or not, if you have been masturbating to our voices this whole time,
you are welcome.
Very welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.